Hi, I'm still Eddie.
I'm still Dr. Sharp.
I'm still Meg.
I'm just Donovan.
And this week on the podcast, we're going to take a fan suggestion, and we're going to do the occult travel agency.
Paranormal, occult, whatever you like.
I'll have to find out the difference from one of you guys.
Yeah, that'll okay. Take up 15 minutes.
Yeah. 12.
We'll make it a solid 11 and I'll be into it. At the top, I'm going to plug our other podcast, our cousin podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not our sister.
No, it's a inner family, though. It's a cousin that was raised as a sibling.
Right. Mm. Our step cousin.
Okay.
It's called Slightly Spiritual. You can get it on any of your podcasting apps. And you can find all the episodes at athenspublic.com/slightly spiritual. They recorded today. The recent episode, they talked about living in a cardboard box.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not fun to live in a cardboard box.
I used to love cardboard box forts.
Yeah,
that
I
was
did
my
too.
Bread and butter.
Yeah.
Not only for myself, but like for my Star Wars figures, I'd like build spaceports because mm-hmm. they could land on Avon boxes really well.
Oh, wow. Was your mama an Avon lady?
No, but... she was good friends. The church lady was an Avon lady, so we got lots of boxes. In fact, I have a closet full still
of Avon here, ladies?
Of Avon lady boxes.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Here in Athens, transported them.
That's I don't know what those boxes look like.
They're
all,
square. So. They're perfect for stacking. Really, they are the perfect boxes. Wow. They have a removable lid, so you don't have to worry about folding anything.
I've always wondered what the perfect box was.
It's an Avon box, without a doubt.
Interesting. Well, yeah, subscribe to their podcast, Slightly Spiritual. Email them. They really want some user participation, so slightlyspiritual@gmail.com. You can email them. And follow them on Instagram at slightlyspiritual. They just did an Instagram while they were recording, so I'm in it if you want to see me.
Wow.
Ooh, cool.
I'm ignoring them.
Maybe so. We should set up an Instagram account.
Maybe. We've got a Twitter account.
Yeah, we should definitely set up Instagram. I mean, I used to take pictures every week, and
that was the old Vine Joe.
Love those vines.
Yeah, Vine was fun. I tried with Vine. I'm not going to do Instagram. One of you can do it. I like Twitter. Follow us at Athens Public on Twitter, athenspublic@gmail.com, or give us a call at our newly connected 706-521-3716.
Only during business hours.
Yeah, if you're listening live.
What
which,
are business hours?
They are Thursday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. All
right. And I'm going to send out the live text so we can have live listeners. But if you're ever listening live and you're like, you know what? They're saying something wrong, or I want to correct them, or
the
that's just not right.
The switchboard will be lit up like a Christmas tree.
If you want
tree.
Suggestions on your outfit, you can call in and we can critique your outfit.
Or yeah, you can text video or images to us and we'll play them and talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to critique a listener's outfit.
706-521-3716. Look, it even works on iPad. See? You get the notifications.
Oh, yeah.
Get our apps.
Tight.
Get our apps, yo. Athens Public Access.
If you're not doing anything right now.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I got it all out of the way. Now we never have to talk about it again.
Okay.
For
great.
Until the end.
Are you guys excited about the 4th of July?
No. I
Me
think
neither.
Donovan is.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. It's been... A friend of mine and I used to drive to South Carolina every year to pick up fireworks, and that was a joyous experience, but we haven't done it in a few years, so that was the best part.
To. But wait, I thought you were going to go to the beach.
Oh, well, that didn't materialize. I didn't work enough to go to the beach for 4th of July.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Donovan's not as excited as I thought he was.
Like you didn't earn it, or you just don't have the money?
maybe both.
Oh, okay. I just didn't get enough work done, and I've messed up this vacation.
Yep. Now I can't wait to work hard on these next 5 days I'm going to have off next week.
Yeah. I am going out of town with my family, so that'll be fun.
That's me. Yeah. Part of the family. I will be going to visit my family.
Tell us more.
Wait, hold on. I am your family.
We're going to visit more family. We're visiting my parents and my brother.
You can't take fireworks on the plane. I just want you to know that now.
Yeah, and California is so dry, I don't think there's going to be a lot of fireworks.
Yeah, you're
going to
have those lame snakes.
Yeah, there'll be snakes.
Those
it's gonna
poppers
be a
you throw
snake
on the ground.
And sparkler kind of.
Meg, check the temperature. It's going to be 105.
You might as well just watch fireworks on a television.
That
and coming
good to
from
me.
Georgia, like 105 sounds pretty miserable.
But it'll be.
I'll be
better there.
Tolerable.
Yeah.
That's what happened last time we were there. That was about the same temperature.
It is quite dry in the Southwest. I was just there a month and a half ago, and it was unbearably dry.
Yeah. I've got to bring some lotions.
Yeah, definitely.
Lotions and potions.
Make sure as soon as you get out of the shower, you just slather that on.
Do you guys like a more buttery lotion or a more oily lotion?
It depends on the situation.
Massage oily.
I like the old the cocoa butter.
Okay. So that's definitely more
oily.
Oily. Butter. Okay.
Well, the butter is like more of like an oily. It's thick. It's
yeah.
What? Wait. What?
So shea butter.
Wait. Yeah. I mean, hold on. No. Wait. Can you re-ask the question? The original question.
My question was: do you prefer a more buttery? Right? Did I say buttery?
Creamy.
Creamy.
No, you said buttery.
I guess, yeah.
Did I say
so
buttery?
Cocoa butter is buttery.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's
more creamy than buttery because butter is like oil.
I don't know. No, oily is like massage oil or like.
Yeah, like it's thin. It's almost liquidy.
Yeah. Or like.
Swiss formula. Aloe vera in the big green bottle. The 1995 big green bottle.
That's what
I prefer.
Wait, didn't you say you preferred something else?
Yeah, I'm in the booth right now. I've decided otherwise.
I was always a big fan
of the Swiss formula bottles where they're just like the big, like non-transparent lavender green.
Opaque.
Yeah, opaque lavender or like strawberry colored. You guys remember these at all?
I don't. I pretended that I did.
I feel
but I don't.
Like maybe I have a memory of it, but it just reminded me of the lotion my mom used to use.
They were perfectly square. That's what I liked about it.
Okay. Okay, then I don't know what you're talking about.
Huh. Perfectly square. Like
perfectly
square.
You know, most bottles will be round, but these were just like squared, tall bottles. Oh, well, you know. I guess it's a memory loss.
Rectangular prisms, though, because they're three-dimensional.
Yeah, rectangular.
I can't even picture it. What's it called? 1984?
Swiss formula. No, I'd say probably 97.
Wait, Swiss formula. Like, yeah, everyone had that, right?
Yeah, everyone was
using
Swiss.
The pump?
Yeah, exactly. The ones with the pump.
I definitely had that.
The square ones.
Okay.
St. Ives.
St. Ives.
Yeah. That was right. You know, Ricola. That was Ricola.
So Swiss
what's that region of the
you're
world
You're talking
called?
About Swiss vanilla.
I'm not. Not no.
You're talking about a flavor of St. Ives?
No, it was just the bottles that they came in in the 90s. The particular shape of them sticks in my mind very well.
That's weird. That's weird that a shape sticks in your mind so well. I think,
what shapes?
Right?
You don't have any shapes stuck in your mind?
Not
even really pointy
any.
Ones?
Maybe a hexagon.
There's not any particular packaging that you remember from your childhood that you were drawn to where the marketing affected you, obviously.
Well, Donovan, I don't know if it was pre-podcast, was already talking about Avon boxes as being particularly
I don't think
on the podcast?
Delightful. No, I don't think it was.
Pre-podcast.
Yeah, I don't really have any.
You don't have any pack? Well,
you don't have any lotion preferences, at least?
I was trying to just boil it down to shapes, and it's like.
My favorite shape. What's your favorite shape, Eddie?
Maybe like
A little raptor scuttled through the room.
That felt very dismissive. Like, what's your favorite tree?
See, okay, I think what's happening here is Eddie is really not a he can admire an object, but he's not like
attached to it.
He's not very attached to objects.
I think leaf shaped, like maple leaf.
Okay, that's a good shape.
Isn't there
or pot leaf? I like that.
Isn't there liquor that's shaped like a Canadian? What do they call that?
Maple syrup.
Oh yeah, probably maple syrup bottle.
If I'm ever
is
impressed,
there maple syrup liqueur?
I think you guys
like
are specifically talking about packaging. And if I'm ever impressed with packaging, it's got to be like a glass bottle or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The
like,
skull glass bottles.
I think packaging also has to like weigh a lot for me to notice it. Like, if you want to be noticed as packaging, you need to be like the bowling ball of packaging. Like, very heavy. And then I'm like,
why would
that
the package
was
so
like.
Heavy?
Okay, do you like wooden crates?
Yeah.
See, that's the packaging he likes.
Okay.
He wants a wooden crate.
Maybe like a dodecahedron out of wood, like the 12-sided die made of wood.
And then you have to crack it open, and inside of it is a pearl or something.
Well, yeah, that
and
would have to be really
like
special.
Multiple compartments.
Because that's very impractical.
Yeah. Well, oh, yes.
It would
like,
be
how
a
would
good.
You ship it? You'd have to ship it in an Avon box, probably.
Or if it was larger, and you use if it was just a like a bureau or something, because that's packaging, right? A bureau that has lots of little shelves in it. That's a dodecahedron made of wood. That would be nice.
Yeah, I'd be into it.
comparing shelving to packaging is kind.
But
of
I'd also
we're always reaching on this podcast.
On with that in mind, I do want this to look like a crate, like something that had been put on a pirate ship and kind of like weathered wood.
Right.
With like maybe some metal bracing on it. You know, almost like a barrel.
Wow.
Like a barrel that you would go over the Niagara Falls in, but in this 12-sided die shape.
Do you guys remember Joe versus the Volcano? Do you remember that movie?
I've seen it, the Not end me. Of it, once.
My favorite part was how he bought these huge, I think they're called steamer trunks.
Yeah.
And a steamer trunk is a very good package. Because they're like...
cedar chest. It's like a big...
I don't know if it was cedar. It was like what, you know, the typical image is you see one, I think it's leather with brass fittings.
Or leather or metal, yeah. We had some steamer trunks when I was a kid and they were like... tin steamer trunks.
So you kind of open them up and they become like a dresser.
Yeah.
And you see all the, you know, I guess they used to have stickers that they would put on things as they went through countries.
Yeah, you'd get your Haiti sticker.
Yeah.
I just thought about it. You know, it has good packaging. It's the drumstick, like the ice cream cone.
Oh, okay.
And it's got that like...
The tearaway...
paper cone
that protects the cup, the ice cream on top.
That
yeah,
is
but
very
it has
smart.
Like a
Good
huge
design.
Amount of strength to it until you like tear it apart and then it's like kind of flimsy.
That's how cones are.
Yeah, cones are pretty amazing. They're like the circular.
Is that
pyramid.
A shape that sticks in your mouth?
The pyramid, right?
Well, that's more of a pyramid than a cone.
The pyramid's the strongest shape. Is it a triangular pyramid or a rectangular pyramid? Is
I think
the strongest.
There's square on the bottom.
Is that a perfect pyramid?
Mm.
Because you can have a triangle on the bottom and it's a triangular pyramid.
Yeah, I don't think that kind is as cool. I think you want a square on the
it's
bottom.
It's probably really strong though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like not nearly as much surface or area inside.
And does the base of a triangular pyramid have to be equal to the sides?
So what are you saying strength wise? So you're saying at the pinnacle it's stronger?
Yeah.
The whole thing is just a really like strong.
But the pyramids in Giza are squares.
I think they're square pyramids.
So where are these triangular pyramids happening?
In geometry classes.
Oh, okay.
All around the world.
But as a structure.
I don't know anyone's building them.
Yeah. So
what's
if they're so strong.
Wait, what's
they
the
seem like they're, it's because they're just hard to build.
And like the inside is going to create a very strange shape.
You'd have a lot of problem making rooms. What's that pyramid in Las Vegas, though? It's a square pyramid?
You're talking about the...
the Luxor.
Oh, Luxor. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a glass pyramid.
I mean, yeah, it's based on one of the ones. I'm not sure which one it's
probably
based
the one
on.
In Luxor.
Right. Okay. I didn't Makes think sense. We could talk about shapes for that long. But I'm glad you asked because it made me think about packaging, and I don't really like it. Like when you get a new phone, it's all like
in a
austere
box?
Like it's in this like cardboard.
Oh, I love those
boxes. I've saved a few of them.
Yeah,
I have one that
like,
a Bluetooth speaker I had came in a very nice cardboard box, and now that's where I keep all of my different USB cables and chargers and what have you.
But what bothers me about that is I don't know what to do with it. Because it feels like you can't throw it away.
It's like a cigar box. What do you think the conundrum with cigar boxes was?
You feel like you can't throw it away. Or yeah. You like don't know whether to recycle it or put it in the trash, so you just keep it for a long time. And then you're like, okay, I'll put my other bits in here. My mm-hmm. little pieces of bolt and nut. What's going on?
I think she needed something to chew on.
Oh, okay. So you keep those boxes around? The phone boxes and
sometimes,
boxes?
Not all of them. It has to be.
I know there's a market for it because on eBay you can sell those for quite a dollar.
I have a lot of the sleeves that Amazon ships things in. Like, you know, just those Meller sleeves, padded Mellers.
Oh, you're talking about the packaging, like the air filled.
Yeah, the air filled. I probably have 75 of those in a backpack in my room. You think I should
like,
resell those?
You're going to ship something soon.
I felt like when I had the cassette club, it'd be good to save all those. But now I think I should just resell them.
Yeah, I save those and then they get like a couple get deflated, like a couple segments. And I'm like, oh, now this whole thing is worthless. So then I just...
Mine are just in a big backpack and I'm surprised how many are fitting in there, to be honest.
Yeah, they just take up space.
Well, this has been package talk with Don and Eddie.
Hey, I got in there a little bit.
I once thought about a fictional character named Philip Space. Have you heard of him?
No.
Well,
that's
it.
He sounds like kind of a nothing kind of guy.
He just has that conversation that keeps conversations going.
Oh. Those are important
like,
sometimes.
Yeah, he's good to have around. Like I wouldn't bash him.
But he's also the guy like when everybody's ready to go home, but he just like keeps the conversation going, but everyone's trying
yeah.
to be too sweet.
And
to
you're like, "Okay, Phil. See you tomorrow."
I have to see him again tomorrow?
You see him all the time because
every day? Oh my god.
He's just around.
Yeah.
Knows what? Where you work and he stops
in. I'm familiar with this guy.
Yeah. But he's good on the radio because there's, you know, you don't want dead air. Anyway, he'd be good. I think now that I'm thinking about it, he works at like a packaging facility and maybe helped design those Amazon airbags.
Or packaging
I think
peanuts.
Those were existing before this. I've been, you know, seeing them around for a while. They're just air mailers.
Oh, yeah. They've existed far before Amazon.
There's a company that does it, though, I think. Like, it's like air...
what do you
Air
guys,
Jordan. That's
what
it
do you guys
Air think, Jordan.
What do you guys think of the new newish packaging instead of the bubbles, which I think they kind of discontinued? They do the like inflatable tube thing that are all attached. Is
that's
there a name for that?
That's what I've been talking about this whole time.
Those
that's not what
fine.
Donovan's talking about.
I don't,
wow.
I don't know.
Well,
Donovan's talking about a sleeve that has
I'm not saving those little things that you pop and throw away.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's what I'm saving.
They have the little recycling sign on them, so it's like, oh, obviously
yeah.
I recycle.
I mean,
yeah, but
and
it's
that's
number
awesome
five.
Because
you can't do that here.
Oh. Can they
find No, I think
else?
You can now.
I don't think you can recycle bags though. And those might qualify as bags.
You cannot recycle bags, it's true. But I actually think that I saw on the
the mommy
ACC
blogs.
Waste.
Oh.
Screw mommy blogs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Ugh. Don't use these Amazon. I don't know. I don't know how to be a mommy.
Don't use these Amazon mailers as a bed.
Don't use them as a toy. I actually, Seychelles the other day, like, grabbed a plastic bag and immediately put it over her face. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Sevi came into the room one time with a bag, like, firmly pulled down over her head and sucked in, like, yeah, like you could see the outline. Like, exactly. Like someone was trying to strangle her. Yeah. But that person was her. And we thought, this is going to be hard. Keeping we this thought, one
this
alive.
This kid's a genius.
Yeah, she is.
Why? Oh, yeah. So there's this video at the Nature Center, speaking of kids, and they explicitly say that bags, when they go through the shredder, gunk up the shredder, and they have to, like, turn it off and restart it. So anything that resembles a bag is kind of against the recycling policy because it, like, slows their whole process down. And, you know, they're not really recycling it here. They're
shipping.
Yeah, they package it up into something that companies want to buy.
Most of it goes to China.
Yeah, they ship a lot of it overseas.
Flagstaff just had a bunch of their stuff discontinued because they were targeted for what they call wishful recycling, which was they were putting a lot of stuff in the recycling that wasn't actually recyclable.
Yeah.
So they're no longer buying, like, a bunch of different plastics from Flagstaff.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And also,
yeah, recycling's an interesting
topic. With the bags, the green waste in California, you're not allowed to throw your palm fronds in there because they're so stringy that they clog up their shredders.
That's interesting.
So they tell you to throw your palm fronds just in the trash can and not the green waste barrels.
You just think you could, you know, make something out of that.
But all of this, like, green waste and recycling is a for-profit industry that makes money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, really, they don't want you to recycle styrofoam because styrofoam is mostly air and it costs a lot of money to transport a truck full of air.
Yeah, makes
sense. They want
bulk.
They want more for their money.
If they could have big, heavy plastic. This is another thing I remembered recently, guys, because I saw it in a commercial. Do you remember when two-liter bottles, instead of just being straight down, they had a little plastic sleeve that fit at the bottom?
Yeah,
I had forgotten all about that until recently. Mm-hmm. They used to have a little sleeve on 2 ounce.
What is this?
2 liter bottles. They used to have little sleeves to keep them upright. Hmm. They were on the bottom.
I don't remember.
I had forgotten all about it.
Now that I think about it, since we're just talking about packaging, like, to-go coffee has come a long way in my life. Like, now it's got, like, the paper cup with the paper sleeve and, like, the
lid.
The compostable lid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's...
Oh, the lid's compostable? I didn't know that.
A lot of them are.
Well, the other day, I've... So many times in the last week, I'm like, why don't I just have a bunch of to-go coffee cups at my house? That'd be so useful. Because I have not found, like, a mug, to-go coffee mug that is good. They're all...
They'll keep
the coffee warm, but they're so unappealing to drink out of.
I like iced coffee, and that comes with an asterisk, which says at the bottom, only out of plastic cups with a straw. Like, I don't like drinking iced coffee
just
when it touches
at home.
My
lips
or, like, the upper lip or anything.
Why,
like,
you get grit on your... You get the sieve?
It just doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste the same.
It needs,
like,
to be from a straw.
I need it to be from a straw, but I also need to feel how, like, I need to have the plastic, cold-ass plastic cup in my hands. That's weird.
I agree. I feel like there's definitely an aesthetic to drinking coffee.
Yes.
Most of my iced coffee I drink out of a quart jug. Just because, like, it's at work. So I just have the big quart jug that I fill with ice and
two
coffee.
Hands?
Sometimes if it's really cold. And
what do you mean by a jug?
It's a quart and it's,
like,
you know.
A mason jar?
It's like a mason jar made of plastic, practically.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
And they're a quart.
Because I was picturing a jug like, you know, those things that are really popular in the South that are ceramic with the faces on them.
Ugly mug.
The ugly mug.
Oh, speaking of which, I went to a really good... antique mall in Monroe a few days ago, the Ian Henderson Antique Mall. Have you guys ever been there?
I don't think so. I don't think I've been to Monroe.
It was very nice. I think you would like it. It was kind of like junk in the trunk here. Like you went to junk in the trunk, but it was two stories and they had lots of stuff.
I love that kid.
I ended up buying a...
How far away is Monroe?
It was about 30 minutes.
Wow.
I think you go through there on 20 on the way back from the airport.
Oh, no, that's Conyers.
Anyway. Wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, man. So Meg and I were talking about... are you finished with your story?
We were just...
No, I'm not.
Oh, keep going. I want to hear more about...
Okay, so what were you going to buy? The Ian Henderson Antique Mall. They had many, many different wares.
Did they have a psychedelic Jesus
painting?
Yeah. Or, you know, like with like background colors?
I know what you're talking about. It's velvet usually.
Yeah.
No, they didn't have that. I ended up buying a bag that was just full of weapons and different parts of 80s and 90s action figures. It was marked down to $250, and I was like, well, I can definitely resell this on eBay. But it ended up having like maybe 20 Lego pieces in the bottom of it. And I spent like 2 hours after I meditated over a bowl. And I tried to put all the pieces together into something appealing, and it took me a really long time, and it still didn't work at the end. Aww. I thought I got somewhere, and then I left the room and came back in. I was like, wow, this is junky.
That's why this was marked down.
Well, no, it's good. That's not why it was marked down, but it was good to try and occupy my mind with Legos for the first time in many, many years.
Yeah, that's a... It's complicated. I'm sorry that it went that way for you. It sounded like a cool place, though.
Yeah, it was fine. No, it went fine for me, but...
Would you go back there?
Yeah, I would. They had a lot of stuff. I felt like Cook, it was his second time going, and he was more trying to rush through the place to go get what he was looking for to begin with, rather than take in every booth.
Did he find it?
Yes, it was an accordion, and he also bought a bowling ball that is Chainsaw brand. And it's Massacre is the model.
Did he know these things would be there? Or he was just hoping.
He knew the accordion was going to be there, and then he found the bowling ball.
Wow, nice. Same vendor?
What a score.
No, there's many vendors there. Okay. There's probably 150 different booths.
Right, but sometimes it's like there's 150 booths, and then there's like four that you like.
Are there any updates on the bowling alley? Just closed?
Closed.
See you soon, bowling alley. Yeah, I was gonna say, I went to the auto parts store today, and in the car, the song, "Let's get it started in here, let's get it started in here," played, and I was like, "I think it's me." Yeah,
yeah, they use offensive terms in that song.
I'm sure there's a cleaned up version, right?
I think they do, but they just bleep out. They use the offensive term "retarded."
Oh, right.
But there is a cleaned up version where it's not used.
Okay.
Maybe that's what I heard, because this was Chuck FM. They play anything.
I think they play a lot of censors. I'm guessing they use a censored version.
Am I super loud right now?
No, you're good.
No. Okay. I'm not even going to bother with my headphones for a little bit.
I got you.
Thanks. I hate that song. I just wanted
I really wanted
to chime in.
I hate the whole Black Eyed Pea catalog.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
And they did the song Mazel Tov.
Right, I know. That's not what it's called.
We make a lot of Black Eyed Peas in my place of business, and every time it makes me think of that band, and it's very discouraging to make that dish because of that.
I used to, like, jokingly sing that song a lot. And Meg and I were talking about songs that we used to, like, sing or jokingly sing. And it's like, whoa, I haven't heard this one in a while. Like, why was I singing this 3 years ago? But
I Perry played a new Black Eyed Peas song for me, and I was like, I don't even know how to respond to this because
why
I'm
did
like
she
embarrassed
play it
for you that you like it.
Oh, that's
why?
Sad.
I feel
that's,
like we
that's just too bad.
We talk about the Black Eyed Peas a lot because you mentioned Fergie in the Royal Wedding, and I thought you were talking about that Fergie. So.
But yeah, see, we don't mention them a lot. Just in your mind, we've mentioned them once.
Yeah, I think about
them
a lot. I guess I think about the Black Eyed Peas a lot.
It's too
bad.
Let's
get them out of here.
We should get them out of here. Out of all of our minds, I would like to have them erased.
I really
from
don't
history.
Know enough about them.
You,
I want to delve deeper.
No, you don't.
There's Sam I Am. Is that one of the guys?
Will I?
And thing one like and thing two.
You just dismantled the Black Eyed Peas. Like, they had a tough image.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did not.
Can I divert the conversation slightly? Yeah. Because yes. I'm not sure. Eddie, did Meg tell you about my big Monday? Big unexpected Monday.
She did, but I want to hear it from the
okay
source.
So to our audience, I had my little sister's mom Tina in town, who is, you know, like another mother to me, and she and her sister were here. And on Monday I normally work from home and with the babies though, and they were like, you know, why don't we take the babies downtown?
Oh, you're Tina and your
Tina and Pat. My Tina and Pat. And Tina and Pat were like, why don't we take the babies downtown and you can just get more done, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just want to apologize. My children are normally taking a nap right now, so they're fussy. But
we'll turn off their microphones.
Okay. So anyway,
are we getting a call from the... Oh.
Oh, bummer. Someone who was like, put those babies in a crib. So...
The mommy blogs.
Yeah, all the mommy bloggers. So...
They watch the kids.
So they took the kids downtown and I was like, that's so sweet of you. So I, you know, did some emailing.
Oh, you're so good at emails.
Yeah. Thank you, Eddie. I did a... You know, a few other house tasks. I even took a little nap. And then when I woke up, I had lunch and, you know, I was feeling good. And then I went pee at one point and I stood up and I was like, I am stoned.
Whoa.
Like really, really stoned.
From peeing?
Well, I was like, how did I get here? Like, how did this happen to me? And
Did you retrace your steps?
Well, I think I was too stoned to. I just was like this. I was like, someone must have dosed me somehow.
like you got roofied?
Yeah, like somehow.
That's funny.
So I didn't say anything to them when they got home. I just was like dealing with it. And I was drinking so much water and peeing so much. And then I was hanging out with the babies and like, I just felt like I just don't even know what to do with my children.
That's funny. That reminded me one time when I was in college and I did mushrooms.
Wait, I'm not even done.
I just want to, this is an aside.
Okay.
I did mushrooms and then I had an exam the next day and then I was like drinking a lot of water and peeing because
so
like,
much
I've got to get this
out
of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that worked.
Well, I was just straight up thirsty.
Dry mouth.
Yeah, I was like, so my mouth, yeah, it felt like just, you know, a barrel of cotton. It was wild. So then I put Rio down. And then say she was still kind of awake, so we kept her up a little bit longer. And then I was sitting with Seishada, and Tina was talking to her sister Pat, and she had this bag of Bark Thins, which for those of you who don't know, Bark Thins are a snacking chocolate. And she was joking with her about, don't grab one of the weed chocolates. And Pat was like, wait, there's wee chocolate in here though, right? Like, and Tina's like, yeah, there is, but I handed you a real bark thin. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, no.
There's weed chocolate in the bark thins bag.
Which is mixed in with other snacks?
Yes.
Yeah, bad idea.
Yes. I was like, I ate some of that because I am so stoned.
Man.
Tina was like, no, I told you about it. I was like, no, you did not tell me there was weed chocolate in that bag.
Meg ate a bunch of bark chocolate at Tina's house and thought it was really good, so maybe she got dosed too.
No, she had brought it on the airplane with her.
What?
That was how she snuck it in.
Yep.
I did the same thing with some weed gummies. I mixed them in with some normal
other
gummies.
Yeah. I guess they even swiped her bag, and that's why she thought she had told me, because she like told Pat the story about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, she kept saying, I told you. I'm like, you did not. You know you didn't. You just feel bad.
Wow.
But I was like stoned all through the night, and then I woke up the next morning with like a hangover, you know?
Yeah, the drowsy ass weed hangover.
Yeah. With edibles, you really need to know how much
that you're
consuming.
Doing it.
Like how much you're consuming.
That you're doing it.
You don't even know what you, like the milligrams that you took into your system. It just happened.
There was a drinking game in Jacksonville, probably around the globe of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a shot glass that you would throw a quarter into, and if you got the quarter in the glass, everyone would have to take a shot, and if you missed the glass, then you would have to take the shot, and the shot glasses would be filled with beer, most likely mm-hmm. PBR or like some very low alcohol beer, and you could play this game for not very long and feel very drunk just by not knowing like how much you've drank,
mm-hmm.
because like I don't know, there's just something.
I know about beer shots.
There's
beer
something
shots will make you feel funny.
Yeah, it's a funny experience where it's like, wow, I may have had half a beer, but I feel like,
especially when it's in like, that sort of environment, like you're always doing beer shots in like a big group of people.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I think it's a fun.
I was thinking about drinking games recently, though. I haven't played one in a long, long time, and like it used to be a big like when I was like maybe 17, 18 until I was 21. It was a big part of the drinking experience.
Didn't we play a Vegas Vacation drinking game?
Well, I don't consider the movie drinking games to be drinking games. I'm talking about like sitting around King's Cup more specifically. That was when I used to play all the time.
What about beer pong?
Ugh.
Drinking game.
Once,
right?
It was kind of like discovering soap, and they were like, how were we so filthy before? I just, like, one day I had a breakthrough about how disgusting a game beer pong is, and I never will again in my life.
Yeah, beer pong is pretty awful.
Because you're drinking out of the cup that everybody
the little ball, like, misses the cup and goes flying across the room, gets, like, dog hair, like...
Right.
Who knows? Lord knows
and
what.
What
yeah,
is
usually
up
in
with
a
the
kitchen,
ping pong right? balls? They have like a really weird smell, like a real weird chemically.
I don't know anything about that, but
you don't know about that. Like, have you ever busted open a ping pong?
I don't
ball?
Go around. No, oh. I haven't. You're like you tear it open. You're talking about the center of a ping pong ball.
Yeah,
y'all are crazy.
Strange
you should
smell.
Listen to Meg's other podcast.
I have.
She just busts open classic toys.
Oh, have
and
you ever
sporting
busted?
Equipment?
I mean, it's like you've busted open a golf ball and a baseball
and
right?
smelled that.
No, just seeing what's in there.
Smell. You definitely smell it.
Okay, I want anybody out there who has smelled the inside of a ping pong ball to leave a message.
You
on
ever cut
voicemail.
A tennis ball in half and turn them into those toys that give you like big welts on your arms?
Mm-mm.
Like you cut a tennis ball in half and it creates a seal where you push it on your arm and
no.
like you can kind of like pump it up so it like creates
this
a really big
cupping.
Suction cup.
This is called cupping.
Yeah,
they
can
do
cup.
It to swimmers.
Yeah, you can cup
you it
with
it
a tennis
Phelps.
Ball.
Michael Phelps did it in the Olympics. It's like they make these huge like hickeys.
Mm-hmm.
On
yeah,
you.
we would cup with tennis balls.
Apparently, that's good for swimmers. They do it.
Supposedly, it removes toxins from your body. I've heard brings them to the surface.
That sounds like some bullshit.
Like yeah, you hit that, then the old sweat lodge.
Yeah. Okay, we got to talk
sounds
about
fun, though.
Our topic. We're
All right, the paranormal travel along. Agency.
Running we're along like usual.
So the way that this topic came to be is my brother and I were walking around Chicago, and he points out this business that was a travel agency, and you look in the window, and it is just like a, you know, it's like a hoarder lives there. It's like stacks and stacks of pamphlets, you know, and dying plants, and but it's like a storefront in a very probably what would be a very expensive part of the neighborhood.
So they're paying rent.
Or, you know, they've owned the building for 100 years.
It sounds spooky. I like this setup so far.
So anyway, he just commented like, it was like I travel can't imagine anyone actually going in there. Yeah, basically. But even for Tarot, it would be like a very weird, like, oh, I this like must idea. Be legitimate because it's so crappy.
I think a good logo like would just be like, you know, the Merlin purple cloak with stars on it. And then it just says travel agency. But it would just be like this, like, you know, pointy hatted wizard.
This is where we have like to determine whether it's paranormal or a cult.
Okay.
Because if it's a cult, we won't be doing any advertising. There will be zero advertising.
Explain to me the difference, because I am the layman podcast listener.
Paranormal is more dealing in what would be what you'd see on sightings. Let's say, you know, Bigfoot, aliens. Ghosts, aliens, all the like of people's fears that they, you know, manifest, and they call it the occult. Or, I'm sorry, not wait, the occult. They call wait. It the paranormal. Paranormal is it's a dismissive term, just like conspiracy theory. You know, as soon as it's a paranormal, people stop listening.
How does that differ from the occult then? Like, so the occult's like legit magic, like pulling a coin out of somebody's ear.
Yeah, legit magic. Yeah, like when you make the little fuzzy ball disappear from underneath the cups,
or like cutting a woman in half.
But in Eddie's defense, could they not? They could.
Wait, are you defending me?
He is dumb. It sounds but like he's not that dumb.
There's no defense for this.
No, there's no defense. The occult is like esoteric knowledge of how the world works. So it's kind of like science, but with non-scientific methods. So the kind of summary of magic is always the will to power. So basically like how you create reality.
And the paranormal would just be people's fear of a reality that already exists. Like, paranormal is... It's kind of like unsolved mysteries, all the things that, you know, try and scare people. It's fear tactics, I feel.
So if you could put it in one sentence, what would be...
Paranormal things don't exist. The occult does.
Yeah, okay.
This is a very non-biased approach to these two topics.
So I guess let's go a cult because you guys
it sounds right. Like your travel service
favoritism for a cult here.
There's a little bit of, you know, I know these terms and I thought I could like get you guys to nicely describe them by playing dumb. But
I feel like paranormal is so ultra dismissive.
Mansplained it.
Yeah.
What would be a different term for paranormal?
Well, I guess it would depend on the experience, you know, like
supernatural. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good word.
I feel like supernatural angels, doesn't concern aliens, though.
What about religious things?
Oh, well, that's a religious experience, Eddie.
Okay.
Oh, well. I'm going to go on a religious experience.
So we can go to the religious experience. In that case, they take you to
the Holy Land of like plane travel.
You go to Vatican City and they like show you all the Pope corpses.
And they take you there in like camel drawn carriages.
I mean, this could quickly turn into the occult. Like you get taken down into the, what is it called? The
Underground
crypt.
Railroad. Oh, sorry. The crypt. Yeah, Hades, the Styx. You float down the Styx.
Is that one of the... I was wondering, is this...
is there a cruise?
Is this travel agency going to be going to places on Earth? Or is it like inter-reality travel agency?
Well, yeah. So I was thinking, like, as far as travel agencies go, those are like... My dad actually has a travel agent. And he just flies domestically all the time. And really what the travel agent does is just like he tells them what he wants. Like, I want to do my job and come home on the same day. Mm-hmm. And then they make that happen.
So he doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't have to go to orbits.com and figure it out himself.
Right. He needs to be in Memphis and then he needs to go to Charlotte and then he needs to come home. And the travel agent finds the most efficient and cheapest way to accomplish that. So he will maybe leave at 6 a.m. and get home at like 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. But he's going to hit all these flights and make all of these appointments.
And the cabs are all done. Like,
yeah,
all travel's taken care of.
The travel is like maybe his rental cars are booked. But yeah, it's all like he just does it. He doesn't have to worry about the travel.
So yeah, so like for it to be an occult travel agency,
yeah,
you know, they would just get all the spells ready and you know, everything lined up and like you could just do it. And if it was a paranormal travel agency, they would just like show you some scary movies and like get you all warmed up for it. And then, you know, like have a room that shakes or something, has servo motors under it or something.
Oh yeah, they'd send you out into the Northern California wilderness, and they would plant some Bigfoot.
I guess I have a question.
Exactly. Big footprints.
So would your job have to be in that realm, or could you just have like a bank job? Like if your job was like Bigfoot tracker, like you might contact the paranormal travel agency.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, you would.
And be like, give me four sightings.
Yeah,
and
but then you would quickly...
I've got a week.
Devaluate their... I mean, they might be a source of information, but they're just serving the... Are they serving the general public, or is
it
this
depends.
Like a...
Like, Eddie's travel agent is very different than the travel agent where you think, like, you go in, they have a cardboard cutout of a cruise ship with a rainbow over it. Like, it sounds like that travel agent has a bunch of different clients who he serves in the business world.
Wait, why is that my travel agent? My dad's travel agent?
Yes, it belongs to the Boswells.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could use his travel agent, right?
I don't think so, no.
You'd have to pay an exuberant amount of money.
It seems like travel agents should be extinct, right? Like with kayak.com and...
I don't know. I would really enjoy... I mean, they still have travel packages, which is similar to a travel agent. But in a travel package, you're often traveling with other people. So a travel agent could really give you a customized experience. Yeah. Say, like, you wanted to go to Mongolia and ride horses. Like,
yeah, they could
you
do
probably
it all.
Go through a travel agent.
Instead of getting there and, like, having to figure it out yourself, the travel agent gets it all lined up for you. So there's no question in your mind. You can just enjoy your trip.
My dad has this coworker who lives in Texas, or he might have retired.
Donovan already doesn't like this guy.
But this guy would contact
he lives there. He may not be born there. I only speak ill of the Lone Star Bloods.
He would constantly tell his travel agent, this is hearsay through my father, that he wanted to maximize his mileage points.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be like, here's my schedule. Here's where I have to be. Do whatever you can do to, like, maximize my mileage.
So route me through, like, three different airports?
Like, he'd go through Denver to, like, from Texas to Denver just to get to Oklahoma or something to, like, maximize his travel points.
This guy sounds like a real, you know.
Texan.
He
has time on his hands.
And he would really use those travel points to book, like, some lavish vacations.
Okay.
And
eat
large amounts of steak.
That's how you get to Bali. And you can eat a local if you get enough travel points. You can eat a local in Bali.
I will leave him unnamed, shall my parents ever listen. But Larry was very like... like he... From what I met him once, and he is like the epitome of a stereotypical Texan, which was pretty cool. It's cool to meet that.
So let's say you want to go to Wagdos, which would be like one of the last places you go.
But like why? Like,
wait,
do
what
you
is Wagdos?
Need to have a job that qualifies service of the occult?
No.
It's for the layman.
Joe every day.
It's for the layman.
Yeah.
But it's for the layman in the know. Like, you have to...
oh, my uncle went to Wagner's once. And then, like, you know, they're like, okay, well, you're
gonna... What is Wagner's?
So there are, like, seven cities you go through in, like, Egyptian lore to get to the actual land of the dead.
Okay.
And Wagdos is the last city you go through in the land of the dead.
Very cool. Okay. I can see why you'd want a travel agent to help you get there.
Yeah. And you just want to check it out. Like, you don't want to go to Wagdos forever.
Right.
You just want to go check it out.
Yeah, you just... It serves a purpose.
And so,
what's Wagdos like?
And you're like a... What is your... occupation? Why are you going to Wagdos? You're a fisherman?
Well, you could be a tourist. You could be trying to go see a loved one. You could be trying to learn some information. You know, it could, you could be a practitioner of the occult.
So standard rate is one person's soul.
Well, the soul of someone clean of spirit.
Oh, virgin?
No, it's easy to come by the sullied soul. You know, those are a dime a dozen.
Do you give, like, your children or...
No,
like...
I mean, you don't have to.
So
yeah,
how
but
would
that
you...
reminds me of Rumpelstiltskin, which I've been reading a lot lately.
Why?
Because
just on your free
rented
time?
It. I rented it from the library, and our daughter really likes it.
Just can't put it down.
She just can't put it every night.
Where is Rumpelstiltskin's? He has a little thing he says.
He's got a name.
Oh,
can't catch me.
You can't catch me.
Beep, 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 oh my gosh, he does say something at the end.
Yeah, it's something like, you'll never find out my name, and I'm also a little bastard.
I mean, the whole story is very like, oh, the king is clearly the villain, but suffers no consequences from the whole ordeal.
Yeah, didn't he lock Rumpelstiltskin away? Like,
well,
in
okay, the story is that... The miller had a daughter who was beautiful, and the miller was poor. And he goes to the king, and he's like, oh, I have this beautiful daughter. And he's trying to impress her. And he goes, oh, my daughter can spin straw into gold.
Yeah.
And the king's like, oh, yeah? Well, bring her here. I'm going to make her do it. And he's like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, I'll bring her, because otherwise you're going to kill me. So he brings his daughter and locks her in a room with straw. And then she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. And Rumpelstiltskin comes and goes, I'll do that. I know how to do that. And so he does it.
But the firstborn...
Well, no, the first time he does it, she gives him like a ring. The second time she gives him a necklace. And then the third time she's like, I have nothing left to give. But this time the king's like, well, I'm going to marry this woman if she can do this, because she's clearly valuable.
Yeah.
And so...
You got to lock it down.
Yeah, so Rumpelstiltskin's like, you're firstborn. And she's like, well, I can't even see that far in the future, because I'm just trying to survive this night. So, of course, I'll say yes to that.
And the only way to set him free is to guess his name.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
wait, he makes a contract that's like, I get your firstborn unless you guess my name?
Well, no. So he says, you give me your firstborn, I'll spin this straw. And, she's like, yes. And he does it. And then a year later, when she has this baby, he comes back and he's like, okay, give me that baby. And she's like, oh, I didn't think you were actually going to come back. Like, I forgot all about you. And then he says, okay, well, I'm a nice guy. I'll give you a chance. Like, guess my name in 3 days and you can keep your child. He gives her infinite guesses and 3 days.
Wow.
So she starts guessing, and then she's like, sends out some squire, because she's the queen now. And he like goes and spies on Rumpelstiltskin, and he's like dancing around a fire, and he's like,
that's the song. This is the song
about his name.
This is the song in question.
Yeah. Okay,
I'll look it up.
So anyway, the guy comes back, tells the queen Rumpelstiltskin's name. She guesses it, and then he gets so mad that he stomps on the ground and disappears. He stomps one foot, he stomps the other foot, and then he disappears into the ground. But anyway, it's like, what did Rumpelstiltskin do wrong? Like,
well, he's conniving. He's a con man. That's what he did wrong.
He was helping her out. Like, she could have died. She would have died that first
night.
Woulda,
coulda, shoulda. You know, you never know what could have happened.
It's a long-ass song. Hocus pocus, dance and sing. First a necklace, then a ring. Riddles are magic in my game. Rumpelstiltskin is my name. Thomas or Kevin or Michael, Percy or Jackson or Henry, William or Philip or Nicholas? No, no, the little man said. You'll have to do better than that. And he crept away to his house in the wood, where he danced around a fire singing... Bandy Legs, Jelly Bottom, Crookshanks, Ferdinand, Engelbert, Bembo, Knobbly Knees, Fly By Night, Scragbeard. No, no, the little man said. You'll have to do better than that. And he crept away to his little house in the wood, where he danced around a fire singing, Crangy Horn, Scallywag, Short Stuff, Balthazar, Melchior, Caspar. Perhaps your name is Rumpelstiltskin. Who told you that? Who told you that? The end. Is that the song you wanted?
No, that isn't. I've never heard that song in my life.
That wasn't in the book I read.
Well, that's the first result when you Google.
I heard him name the three wise men. I don't think Knobbly Knees is a given Christian name.
Belshazzar, right? He's in there. The devil.
Balthazar, that's not the devil. Oh. That's one of the wise men. You're thinking of Belial?
Beelzebub.
Beelzebub.
Old Beelzebub. Why are we talking about Rumpelstiltskin? I just said, like, give your soul to get an airplane flight or something.
And then,
like that.
Then the whole tale was told about Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah. The
I
entire
enjoyed telling
story.
It. Thanks for letting
it's,
me.
I can't.
Indulging me.
Honestly, mixed emotions.
All right, well...
It was a good story, and
still
I
is.
Feel like Rumpelstiltskin is probably a subscriber to the occult.
And maybe the podcast, hopefully, because he's the only one who's going to enjoy the cantate.
Oh, they're talking about me!
And they know my name already! I guess I can't trick them.
I am going to have to call in about some corrections, though.
Yeah. Oh, man. Tune in 2 weeks when we talk about all the corrections that Rumpelstiltskin deals with.
I hope to good God he doesn't call during non-business hours.
Okay, so there's got to be a price. I feel like the benefit of traveling through this occult might be like very fast travel, but...
And yeah, you don't need the ancient knowledge that usually this stuff would take.
Right.
You don't have to learn anything.
But I think that the price should be very high.
Yeah, exuberant, yeah.
You know. like the soul of an unborn child. Like that's a pretty high.
Oh, that's why we talk about Rumpelstiltskin.
Right. And that is
you can either have your straw spun into gold or you can go on this occult,
I think okay, so that's like
tour.
The price of an unborn child is a little too high. Maybe a house in the hills.
Maybe like the soul of a 3-year-old.
No. I'm just like a house in the hills. $1.5 million.
Yeah, sure. And there are probably other things.
$2.5 million.
Maybe you have to put yourself through some excruciating like torment to like do it. Paid in blood, pretty much.
But couldn't like okay? So when you go to Delta to book a flight, you can pay in cash or Sky Miles. And so I'm thinking there's like a cash, and then like the you know the soul equivalent of cash.
See, I'm not thinking that the travel agent themselves is even trying to. Make a lot like the travel agent
oh,
is not
are.
The Rumpelstiltskin.
No, they are. They
you
are trying
so?
To line their coffers
well,
and
okay.
maybe
and
pull
we also
one
have
over
to think about
person.
Old Larry and like you can accumulate like loyalty points to the
okay.
the agency maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's and like give me the most
because that
soul
is if
points.
You survive, you know, because they right. probably feel whoever is trying to make these journeys without being initiated is
right.
A tempter to begin with. So,
totally.
So if you make it back altruistically, then maybe, you know, you can go on another travel. And
right,
this time,
and they have like the...
This time it can be the soul of a 3-year-old, not an unborn child.
Why? Because we have a 3-year-old?
Oh, well,
no,
I was just
the
saying,
second time.
They're like, you're like,
the cost
meh.
Isn't as high.
Yeah.
The third time, like, it's like a toe.
I got some good years out
we'll
of
get,
it.
You get your pinky toe on the third one. After that...
I don't agree.
They'll resurrect your foreskin on the fourth flight.
So what is the dollar value of a 3-year-old? And it's much less than an unborn.
Oh, to pay? Yeah. The 3-year-old trip is $3 million.
$3 million.
The first one is $5 million.
Yeah, I agree.
$3 million or the soul of a 3-year-old. So like after they die.
You have to deliver it unto the agent.
after they die, their consciousness or being.
Look, they know what to do. You'll know what to do when the time comes.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll tell you. You don't even.
They will. You, not even the agent.
It's out of your hands.
If you, as soon as you sign the agreement, you just have to make the
arrangements. I understand, like, the
render reason, the three-year-old like, under.
What you both did was the reasoning of somebody who takes this flight to Australia that takes 1 minute.
That's not worth their live three-year-old.
They're like, I just don't want to fly for 24 hours.
It's not
hours.
Just like a fast flight.
Yeah, you have to go someplace that, you know, you wouldn't go otherwise.
You're going to gain some knowledge or power,
or
right?
Something. It's, you'll bring something back.
Okay, so yeah, it's like to a forbidden land for a forbidden purpose.
You can't just go to Australia in 1 minute. That's ask the genie for that shit.
Oh, and that's what your travel agent says.
Yeah.
That's like on their posters.
No advertising.
No advertising.
Atlanta to Australia in 1 minute? Ask the genie for that shit. Yeah, so the pricing I'm down with, but the method I haven't quite figured out. So when you go to your destination, you have to have a divine intent and like you have to have some sort of like
I mean, imagine your reasoning is your own, just like any traveling. But
well, I just wanted to go to Australia to swim, but you're like, that's not good enough. You need to like,
yeah, anybody
bring
can
back
go to Australia
knowledge.
You know, then why would you?
I think you're the
wanted,
wrong traveling.
Yeah, I feel like you're just trying to get your wishes fulfilled.
I wanted
than,
to do it in a minute because I'm carrying a three-year-old with me.
Yeah, it's the way you get there.
Wait, what?
That's important. Like, it's
wait,
the...
Wait, why am I using this travel agency?
Because you want to get there in 1 minute.
That's what I said, but he refuted that.
Well, I felt like because it was just a trip to Australia, and it has nothing to do with the paranormal or the occult. It's just doing something in a quick manner.
Which is why I preface this thing with, like, who can use this travel agency? Because if everyone can use it, like, we're all going to go to Hawaii.
So, okay, I think the distinction here is
for the
that
price of our
you're using,
souls.
Like, Eddie just wants to use the power
exactly.
of the occult
yeah,
to expedite
sense.
His process. And what Donovan is kind of talking about is, like, having an occult experience.
So I think you should have two packages. You can either travel in this occult way that is otherworldly, or you can go to a place and have an otherworldly experience.
And can the genie be the booking agent for like when it's on Earth and
yeah.
just these
and
rough
Williams,
yeah, and when the genie is on his own vacation, Rumpelstiltskin takes his yeah. place. It's a sub.
Oh, right.
And his name plate is just blank on the desk.
Yeah, and you have to say his name in order to get your vacation package.
And when you show up, you're like, oh,
you're like, what like, is it again?
Everyone knows what it is, and he's pissed. He's like, I should have never released that expose. Like,
boy. So traveling on this agency does not require an interest in the occult. However,
no.
the what is the benefit? Like, why would one choose traveling this agency?
Well, I feel like you could, you know, either because you want to get someplace in a timely manner.
So it's like a quick flight
yeah.
or a quick
or,
airport or whatever.
Or you want to go to someplace, like you could go to heaven, you could go to hell, you could go to...
Yeah,
you,
off the books.
That's what we talked about, Wagdos earlier before, same difference.
Yeah, you could go, you could time travel.
Okay.
Which actually might be package C.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like and package A is like get there in a minute or get there on a cloud. Mm-hmm. It's all about the process of traveling. Package B is where you go.
Some people want to roll up in the limo.
Yeah.
Package C is only your spirit. So that way you're unable to change the past or the future in
ooh.
Any way. It's only your spirit and your body has to stay on Earth.
Nice.
You get to go haunt.
Yeah,
like
go
that.
A haunting.
Ooh, yeah.
I like let's the
haunting we will go.
Yeah.
So what are the price breakdowns like? Is it more expensive
to go haunt?
To go haunt?
Hell yeah.
Than it is to just go to
I think,
Australia?
I think
and
package
surf?
A is like the lowest starts at 2,000.
And that's just instant teleportation.
Or on a cloud. Or
open your door. And then you open your door
and you're there.
Yeah.
Or wait, also you could maybe ride a dragon.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. But dragons are slow. Like, what's their top speed? Like 70?
They're actually not that slow.
Like 100? Like, I can't imagine them going faster than 100 miles per hour.
No, they do. They go so fast.
Like, airplanes go 300 or 350?
They go like 734 miles an hour.
That's the speed of sound. That's exactly the speed of sound.
No, it's not.
Yeah, on sea level.
Really?
Yeah. So Mach 1.
Okay, yes. That's what we've named all of our dragons.
You can go anywhere at Mach 1.
Okay, so I'm actually going to leave because just for the mental well-being of my children.
And this will just be me finishing the podcast.
Well, I think Meg can be there and Donovan will come back. But I just wanted to tell everyone I love them and that I'm probably going to have someone watch the kids while we podcast in the future just because now they're so into their routine. You know,
it's about that
and this is like not a good time for them.
I think
them.
We tossed Safi off around this.
I was like, this is just not a good time for them. It's like their worst hour, but
right.
Well, they do Fridays. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah,
no,
so
it's
I think
the
I'll,
witching hour for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so I think I'll just have someone watch
Thanks for
them,
coming
so.
By. I missed you so much.
Yeah,
this week.
I missed you too. I'm sorry I didn't get to see you on Sunday.
We'll see each other again.
I love you guys.
So you guys had the price breakdown?
Same.
No, we didn't really.
I started
get into
at 2,000 for package A.
Oh.
Well, he already said.
That must be the sliding scale for the economically disadvantaged.
Apparently it's pro bono, right?
Do you want to pause it, Eddie? Would that be doable?
No, we're way over time.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll just wrap it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Let's say what we got to say and then get off the air.
Yeah, I don't know where I want to go, but Australia in a minute sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think with kids, any fast travel is good. I love the time travel angle that Dr. Sharp introduced. I love the idea of traveling to anywhere in the universe or the fantasy verse.
Traveling is a great thing.
Maybe you can
really expand your horizons.
Go into books.
No.
Magic School Bus or whatever cartoon that was.
Wishbone. He's always going into Shakespeare and stuff.
We appreciate you listening. 706-521-3716. AthensPublic@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @AthensPublic. Subscribe to our podcast. It's the Athens Public Think Tank Podcast. We appreciate you listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Not next week. But I think we went over time. So
yeah, you don't want to get your mic stolen again.
You got extra stuff this year. This year for our vacation. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.